we're going to be establishing a missile defense system there. We're bringing out 150 of our troops out of Afghanistan so we can send in 500 more. Now, the stock market, enough said. Excuse me. This Zika virus is quite confounding. I don't know how long it's been around, but all of a sudden it's a stir and we're getting busy with it. I think we all have been aware that it presents a problem for birth defects. And now the reports are saying that it stays in the semen of a man for months. And I was talking with my daughter, who is a doctor of pharmacy, and she says one thing they are not mentioning is that it can bring on paralysis. And that is a grave matter. ISIS now is evidently able to develop weapons of mass destruction, especially mustard gas. But we do now know that the gravitational pull that Einstein said was there is there after 100 years. And yet in Syria, the Russians are bombing, and there are so many bombs going down, they've killed more with their bombs than ever in any of our other consequences of the war in the last few months. And we cannot seemingly arrive at a peace settlement in that nation. We live in desperate times. And there is some gravity to all of that because all of us are growing younger. I see there's more and more hair, and it's turning darker and darker. The waists are getting slimmer and slimmer. Stronger and stronger are our bodies. Our women go out and run 3 miles a day. After you guys go to work and perform unusual and beautiful things. So I've titled this sermon, "Will the Real You Please Stand Up If You Can?" This sermon is to bring our attention to ourselves and where we are in life. I made comment that this sermon is meant to only be enjoyed by mature audiences. Only those over 50 will understand this sermon. Now, some of you are not that old, and so if you're under 50, you may need a chaperone. How many of you are under 50 in here? Okay, that's a lot. That's good. How many of you are over 50? We don't have quite enough chaperones to go around. Some of you are going to have to do double duty on this sermon. But you have an opportunity to listen to what one of the greatest men that ever lived tell us about life. They're turning in the pages of your good book is going to be limited today. I'm not going to take you back and forth, back and forth. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. When you are bored with a sermon, turn to Song of Solomon. Just start reading. Hopefully we won't give you too many boring sermons, but there's a book that'll wake you up. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we have an introduction to what we will look at in chapter 12. The last two verses of chapter 11 tell us of some important matters framing the thoughts for us who are growing old. And that doesn't apply to anyone in this room but everybody. We are all growing older, even you young people. We have a lady down here who had a birthday recently. I won't embarrass her by saying how many years or what her name is, but she's wearing red. And some of you have birthdays you don't want us to know about. I'm rather incapable of remembering how old I am. I'm not good with that for some reason. So my wife continues to remind me. In Ecclesiastes 11, as that chapter ends in verse 9, the first word is rejoice. So let's be happy. O young man in your youth. Now there are a number of you that raised your hands and need chaperones today. And you young people, when these young days are around you and you haven't developed all the sags that the rest of us have to enjoy, it's important for you to say, yeah, I remember some good times. I developed some good times in my youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth and walk in the ways of your heart. Now, this doesn't mean to abandon any decorum, any standard. It means that you are going to be critically examined by your Maker. So whatever you're doing in your youth needs to be very, very carefully thought out. Because it goes on to say, in the sight of your eyes, know this, that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. We will all be judged. And us young people that are here, or you young people, when you get out on the horses, the four-wheelers, you go out for a coffee and a donut with the girls, when you find yourself enjoying a little bit of an exchange by texting, and all these things that you can do that are happy. Remember, whatever you do, no matter how inadequate you might think you are at understanding decorum and responsibility and submission to the great ways of God, that you will be judged by how you do those things from the days that you're young. And God then will bring you into judgment. And then it says in the last verse of that chapter, verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. So when you're young, make sure your heart speaks with the heart of God. And put away evil from your flesh. Don't do something that's going to get you in trouble. That's wrong. Don't get into things that are addictive. Don't do something that's on the edge. Don't take off your clothes for someone else. Don't do these things. For childhood and youth are a vanity. What you'll do in your childhood when you're young, very, very important to remember, they're going to go away. Now, when I was young, I did some pretty interesting things. I was talking with Joy, is reminiscing a bit in my mind about some of the concerts that we'd been to when we were young. We went and saw Chicago and the Beach Boys in a double concert in Washington, D.C. That was fun. The music was pretty good. And that was back in the days when a band all wore the same type of clothes. Everybody matched. They wore the same kind of shirts and slacks. And they had a haircut that was responsible. Now, those days seem to have faded. So in these verses, we see there's no invitation to riotous living. Let your heart be right before God in everything you do. As you go through time, you will accumulate who you are, and that will be judged. Something that you might not know of, in Egypt, long ago, when they would have the parties for the young people, to end the party, they would take a coffin and put in that coffin the image of a person. It might be something carved, it might be mache, paper mache, it might be something along those lines. And they would put that in the coffin and then parade that around the room at the end of the party to give some distinction to the fact that when you grow old, that's where you're going to end up. And so now we go on into chapter 12. And he says again, remember now the Creator in the days of your youth. While the evil days come not, before your difficult days, the days that are you don't want to think about, the days that your grandparents are living, the day that you, today, that you are grandparents and what life is like. Evil might be a more difficult word for us there than that. Maybe we could use the sobering days will finally come. And the years will then grow close to you, draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in the days. Pleasure is gone. When you're young, taking note of the things that you enjoy in life and what your eyes can see as you ride on in your vehicle of whatever contraption you have, or ride whatever you may ride. You have all of these things that you can enjoy. And your eyes bring them in. Well, finally, to do that, and that opportunity ends. Now, your pleasure is in these five senses you have. That's where your pleasure is known. You hear things, you smell things, you taste things, you see things. These five sentences, finally, as you taste them, they come in. And so what you might enjoy today with the greatest cheeseburger in the world, and you take that all in, and it looks wonderful, it tastes wonderful, you can hear it sizzling as they're cooking it, and you get to eat it and taste that great cheeseburger. Some of us that are a little older don't want the cheeseburger. We enjoy onion rings, don't we? Most of us enjoy onion rings. But as you get older, you might not eat six or seven. You know, there was a time when you took those Ripple potato chips, a whole bag of them, and a container of that onion dip, and you went through and you ate all of the chips and all of the dip. You don't dare think about that when you get at my age. You don't dare. And so this is some of the bringing it into our modern mind to realize what's being discussed here. So remember that before you throw caution to the wind, later on things happen. And the five senses become dull. In our care facilities, Joy and I practiced care for people. One of the things that often went was taste. They couldn't taste well. And that included smelling. We even had people that had marginal eyesight. And, of course, marginal hearing. So for them, what might be delightful to the person that has fixed it in the kitchen might not work at all with the person that's enjoying or said to enjoy the food. So while the sun, verse 2, while the sun or light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, it talks about stars, sun, and moon. Remember when you were young and you would have a beautiful idea and in the little cartoon that would be drawn, that might be as a light bulb that went off and there'd be this little caricature of a light bulb. When you were young, you had great ideas once in a while. When you're old, you don't have too many great ideas. And so as you grow old, remember that. And we who are old, this attests to where we have been. And so the metaphor that continues on through many of these verses is eloquently stating what it's more than just nature that's being discussed here. When you're young, the light bulb goes off. Bright ideas happen. And like stars, you have unbelievable little notions. You figure things out quickly. But all of that passes. And sometimes then eventually you get to the place where life is just a muddle. How did I used to do that, you say? How did I used to get that done? Zip, zap, wham, and it happened. And no longer is it like that. So when you are young, remember this. Because when you are old, and we that are old in here know this, things do change. And so then there aren't clouds, and there's the return after the rain. And things just seem to fall apart a little bit. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. It's talking about our senses here. The keepers of the house are ourselves, and we have certain things that keep our house, that make our house work. Your house is your body. There's certain things that we have that we try to do to keep that house. But eventually get a little old and they start to tremble. I got a tremble in my left hand. And when I'm tired, it becomes accentuated. And so when I'm trying to use the mouse at the computer, I'm left-handed. I've got the curse of being left-handed. I've got the tremble in my left hand, and it goes like this. I can't do this. I can't tell you what I think, but I can't do it. The computer won't cooperate with the mouse because of my hand. Now, they've given me pills that are supposed to stop that. You know what? They don't work. They don't work. I go back and take more and more pills, but I think I'll just throw the bottle away, frankly. I'll just have to remember that I shouldn't be tired when I sit down at the computer. Now, you that are young, some of you might even be ambidextrous, can put the mouse in either hand. Remember, when you get old, that's going to be difficult. So your keepers of your house will tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves down. The human body is a marvelous thing. We heard a bit about CPR, and I thought the last comment that was made by Mr. Gennaro, that everything should be done to the glory of God, is really where it's all at. That is a beautiful statement for us to remember, because we do find ourselves eventually bowing down. Now, as I look through the audience, some of you have slumped shoulders. Some of us have to sit erect, it requires that we think about it. A young person can sit erect very easily. They haven't been through what you and I have enjoyed. And the grinders, the teeth, cease. Now, that's important for us to remember. And they become few. Have you ever lost a tooth? Ever lost a few teeth? Ever been to a dentist? Had these choppers worked on? Of course you have. You might have a partial plate. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you have a full plate. I have a good friend, now deceased, but he went to Mexico and got a full plate, uppers and lowers, for $300 overnight. and they fit well, exactly. He was so happy about it. He told me where to go, and I've gone to Maria a number of times. She's a very good dentist. So if you're an Elgadonis, I'll tell you how to look her up, what dirt street she's on. But right now, I try to take care of my teeth, and you do too. You young people, take care of your teeth. There comes a time when you might have fewer of them than you like. And when you're looking out of the windows, they're dark. Your eyes don't function well. Thankfully, this young man here had his eyes attended to, and now he's seeing 20/20. 26. He is a young man now, right? Remember in the Bible another person that had bad eyes? Isaac. And he was tricked into the birthright issue by the skin of an animal on the lad's arm. You can get so vision impaired that that will happen. So we slump sometimes, our bodies are rounded, our shoulders, our teeth are loose, our eyes are bad, and we start to endure growing old. So as I said, the real you, please stand up if you can. You that are young that can stand up, take the wisdom that we have here from Solomon. It talks then in verse 4, and doors shall be shut in the streets. When the sound of grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Talks about how a bird can wake you up. Light sleepers, most of us are when you get a little older. When you're young, you can sleep through anything. And your parents do anything to try to get you up for school, and you will just turn over and sleep some more. You can sleep so easily. You get a little along in that life, and that isn't the case. Just the voice of a bird will awake you. And you find that the doors don't quite work right. What are the doors? It says two doors. Well, this is one of the doors. It's where you put food in. The other one you're sitting on. That's the other door. Now, all of you that are younger don't have any idea about what we who are older experience with that other door. We've got things stashed away so that we're going, is that the word, regularly. We have laxatives, we have binders, we have special water. We watch our diet. Vegetables are number one. High in fiber diet, these kinds of things. Metamucil is in business because you are there. Buy stock in Metamucil. You young people, remember then that this is what happened. So take care of yourselves. But remember, in all of that taking care of it, that's all going to end up as vanity. It's going to go away. And the grinding, yeah, sometimes it's a difficult thing to eat. The older you get, the longer it takes. The younger you are, the quicker it is. Sometimes you don't hear well. How is it that things that you don't hear and that you're accused of having a hearing problem, or that you're filtering what you want to listen to. How is it that that happens? But you can hear a bird at night that'll wake you up for 2 hours. I don't understand it. But the music, the vocal cords, the lungs, the teeth, the lips, all these things that form so that we can enjoy music. And here we had about, I don't know, looked like 15 young people. There's a lot of them right down here. They can sing. The older we get, the better we are at singing, until we finally come to the place where the lungs aren't capable and the lips will not help with all that we should do with singing. Verse 5, "Also when you shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way." When you're young, you can jump off of a roof. One story. Not two or three, but you can jump off of a roof. How many of you young guys have done that? Ah. Even some of the young girls have done that. I used to do that. Swing through the trees, climb a tree. We had a kid up here that knew all about climbing trees, right? He lives where there are trees. But you get a little along in life and you avoid high places. Every so often I need something done on a ladder. I used to have no problem running up a ladder. I've got one of those tall ladders, and I got a ladder that's taller and taller. It's one of these contraptions that makes forever, you know. They're just sitting in the garage. If I need to get up a ladder, a Gennaro kid comes over. Or a Semino kid comes over. I call. I don't go up on ladders much anymore. I'll maybe take two steps up, but I try to keep my feet on the ground. And you younger people have the opportunity to move off of the ground. But all of this has its place, and it eventually goes away. And we don't sometimes climb up in mountains or go into towers anymore. We don't climb trees. My grandsons, they come over and go up that tree, that great oak in the backyard, just lickety-split right up, and it's a wonderment to me. So enjoyable to see that happen. "Fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the white hairs come." And we try to cover them up, and some of you do a pretty good job of it. You cover that white hair. You got different things that you put on it, and it looks young, right? "The almond tree will flourish, though, and the grasshopper shall be a burden." The grasshopper is the kind of drags its skinny little legs along. And we get like that. You know, your legs are not as good as they were when you were young. And some of you know that you try to hide your legs because they're skinny and ugly. They aren't like they used to be. And when we find ourselves like that, you know, we're glad that we can wear something that's a long skirt, or we can wear trousers. This whole thing that we go through, this life, is just so temporary. It's such a vanity. But this is what we live in. While we are living it, we need to remember, he said, you're going to be judged by everything that you do as you do live. Everything is going to be brought into judgment. That's how the whole thing started, didn't it? And desire shall fail. When you're young, desire is a beautiful thing. You get married and you can kiss for 5 minutes. You get old and you got to put your teeth in to kiss. When you're young, you don't have to even come up for air. How was that? What was the difference? The beauty of being young and in love. You wrap yourself around your spouse. Give them that deep, long kiss, but it doesn't happen anymore, does it? All of that fades. And we need to remember that everything you do when you're young pays out in the judgment time. So the desires that you have need to be confined to the reality of marriage and have a very simple and beautiful marriage. Now, God's Word says that He'll allow for divorce. And He gives a little bit of information about it, but the real important thing is He lets it happen because of the hardness of hearts. The heart that will not change, will not accept, will not continue. And people come to that sometimes. Not necessarily both mates, but it does happen. So while you are able to understand desire, take a real good look at what you desire and how you're going to show that, because you're even going to be judged by that. Because man goes to his long home, he goes to his coffin, and the mourners go about the streets. Any number of times I've done a funeral at a veteran's cemetery, and especially in Phoenix, where I did many of them there, there were all kinds of shelters where this was done, and they were beautifully taken care of. And it was a good service, but you were given 1.5 hour. Because the next one was coming in after you. And the military guard that did that, salute to the dead for those veterans. Were very precise, very organized, very beautiful in the way they performed their salute. The firing of the cannon, of the guns, the folding of the flag in presentation. But when it was over, they moved on to the next shelter to do it for some other family. The mourners move on. All of us have been to a funeral. And after we've done it, and we've shown our love and compassion for the family and those that have suffered, everybody has to move on. How you move on will be judged. Six. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Anatomy is not something new. They discovered the body then too. Their knives could go in and look at what was there. The silver cord is your spine. And within your spinal column is that great central nervous system. And it's an unusual creation of bone that gives shape to you. And it carries the messages through the nervous system to run your organs. And this all sits on a golden bowl. That's your head. Your golden bowl. All that is gold, all that is worth anything, is in your head. And as long as your silver cord helps you, that golden bowl is fed. I do not want to recount the number of times I've taken care of people with Alzheimer's and the experimental drugs they've gone through and the activities they've had to participate in trying to recall what is lost in their golden bowl. But your golden bowl is very important. It doesn't matter what your age. How you take care of this golden bowl will be judged. And so what are you putting in that golden bowl? The summation of all that you are is in this. Is it suitable for judgment at the throne of God? Everything that you've learned, that you've memorized, that is you. The times that you fished and caught trout. The time that you first kissed the young lady who is your wife. The time that you found your first opportunity to enjoy a cup of tea with another lady. All of these things that come and make you. How will you be judged? You that are younger, pay attention to your golden bowl. Because there comes a time when the, as it says, the cistern is in the fountain do not work properly. That's the heart. They understood the way the heart worked. They understood diastolic and systolic pressures. They understood what came in and what went out. They understood the wheel that moved within the heart as the four chambers worked in a rhythm. I thought I was taking care of my heart. I knew I had some little problem, but I had no idea what came. And my physicians didn't either. Because of science, I'm here. But there was a time I was just flopping around on a table, kept alive by chemicals and electricity for 2.5 hours while they decided what they could and would do. That's what they tell me. So this is very important. And there is a duality to understanding the subject of your heart. Not only in the physical sense of circulation, but what is circulating in you and finally coming, bringing it to memory. And the synapses that you have up here. And those little cells that control and reign in your life, giving you identity. Verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. I'm not going to go into it, but I have unearthed bodies. And as I studied archaeology and had that unusual experience, I tell you, it is only dust. We just become so much dirt clod. But the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God breathed into Adam, and he became a living body. And the summation of who we are, that he has breathed into us, if we will let him into us, goes back to him. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. All the things that you do is so very, very temporary. You enjoy life, you run it to the hilt. You do all these things that I think of things in a masculine sense. I used to do a lot of target shooting. I used to run four-wheelers. I used to hike till there was no more hiking to have. I'd taken all kinds of opportunity in life. This is so much vanity, it goes away. And now that I'm older, I find that I can't do hardly any of those things. I can't jump off of a roof anymore. Well, I could, but I will not. Because as we understand, hi, Grandpa, I'm one of those. I'm not about to put myself in that situation. 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, because of the wisdom of Solomon, and he records for us, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Solomon went about his life and he realized that what he had learned, he would organize into good sayings for us. And he sought out these things. He read with all that he had had opportunity to read. And there are times when you need to read with diligence, when you need to investigate. But understand that truth at the very end is something that you have and becomes part of you. And this is something you develop with meditation. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. He found things that were suitable, that expressed high-minded thoughts. He got himself involved with things that weren't garbage. He had been involved. He understood what garbage was, what he could seek and have that was filthy and useless in his life. He says, that's not something I want to take with me as a record of who I am. And so I have to find things that are reasonable. Suitable, really, for the mind of God. Because all that this mind is, this golden bowl, is going to be examined by God, and He's going to see if it is compatible with His mind. That's very important for us to understand. Everything we do should be compatible with the mind of God. If it isn't, then you don't want it. And so he then went through and found the words of truth. Truth. Singular. The truth. The words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the masters of assembly. There are these things that will move you along. It's like the stick, the goad that fashions your path. There is a path fashioned for you. And I encourage you to walk that path. There are other paths you can take. You can discover many other things. There's many distractions away from the singular path. But let that stick keep guiding you in the path. It sometimes might wrap your ankles. And if you're truly submissive, you'll find what you need to change in your life. Some of you that are young are learning these things now. You that are dotting on your early 20s and into your 30s, you're learning these things. There's a little rapping that happens sometimes to your ankles. Sometimes there's this thing that goes around the side of your head and gets your attention. Well, pay attention and go in that direction. Because there is this one who is the master of assemblies, that is the best one to put things together, which are given from one shepherd. He's speaking of Christ. He is the master carpenter, the master assembler. And he wants you to be like him. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. There's knowledge forever and ever. Einstein told us something 100 years ago, which we've discovered is true today. What else has been written that we're going to find is correct? What else will be written that is indeed a truth? There's languages, there's arts, there's sciences. And you can become one that's greedy or greedily addicted to books. But he says all of that study will eventually wear out your flesh. I've seen books upon books upon books. A good friend of mine with a doctorate in education had me and three other fellows move his library. It was more than one bedroom in size. Row after row of books. I took care of a man who was extremely intelligent. And when he got married and they decided they would move to a home for he and his wife, he took a tape measure to that home that he was going to buy. There is only one thing that was important to him. That there were two rooms of sufficient size to take care of his library. It didn't dawn on him to find a house where his wife could make a home. He died. And she had to get rid of all of those books. All of the intelligence that was in those books. And it wearied his flesh. And he died. We all will die. It says in Ecclesiastes 2:15, let me read for you. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happens even unto me. And why was I more worse than I said in my heart that this also is vanity? Whether we're fools or we're wise, we're all going to die. What you have put into that golden bowl, the record of your existence, will be judged, and he will look at it and see whether or not you're a fool or not, or you're whether or not that what is up here is compatible with him. That what you've taken in your youth, and that you've filtered through the sieve of God's Word, and as you've lived on and on and on, that you've learned to put behind you those things which are counter that to that great mind of God that you find in this holy book. The words are what is holy. It says in chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, here in Ecclesiastes. Again, let me read for you. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. We come out, and immediately a swaddling blanket is put around us, and we're taken care of. You ever taken care of a dead body? You ever seen one on the table ready for embalming? It doesn't have clothes on it. They address it. They groom the hair and they put it in a coffin. But in the simplicity of death, there is absolute nakedness. We take nothing of his labor, all the things that we have done in our life. We can't carry them away in our hands. And so it says in 5:16, and this also is a sore evil. Then at all points as he came, so shall he go. As we came, so shall we go. What profit has he that has labored for the wind? Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's wrap up in verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the entire subject. Let's put it all together. In these 12 chapters of his book, he puts all that he has assembled in his mind together, and with the inspiration of God, tells us, fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. It's very simple. What you put in here, in the golden bowl, and what the silver cord learns as it wraps itself around you, you find that the entire purpose of mankind is to follow God. All that deserves our fullest attention is in these very few words. This instruction is all that we need. And as we started in chapter 11, I read to you in the beginning verses something about judgment. And that's how this ends then. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing. In other words, there are no secrets. What you say about people, what you think about people, how you behave in the quietness of your own life, what your mate does not know, what your parents don't know, what you as a person who has a grandparent, your children don't know. All of these things that are contrary to the Word of God, such as Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are lovely, you only think the right thing. You only put into the golden bowl something that will be useful for eternity, because it's got to be matching the mind of God. He'll know the secret things, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Even your secrets will be judged. As we started, so we end. Judgment is there for every one of us. Some of us are closer to understanding that judgment because the end of our days is closer. For you that have more days to live, be aware. Judge your activities, your mind, your words, everything about you. Let it speak to the glory of God.